Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Low wages are just one of the sticking points that makes it difficult for childcare centres to retain teachers as federal pandemic relief money has dried up. Our next guest says she's also seeing troubling behaviour from young children that is pushing her staff to the brink. Tijuana Nelson-Gill is director of Lighthouse Academy of Excellence and Achievement in Bay Minette, Alabama. She operates 5 different locations and also serves as a board member for the nonprofit Voices for Alabama's Children. Tijuana, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tijuana, so your childcare centers, they're high quality. They serve children from 6 weeks to 12 years old. But I've heard that it's the age groups, 2, 3, and 4-year-olds, that really seem to be struggling right now. What are you observing?
You know, I hate to say this word, but it's violent behaviors that we're seeing. A lot of fighting, a lot of learned behaviors, a lot of cursing, hitting, throwing things. And, you know, we see this in early childhood. We see it. It's, you know, it's not nothing we've never seen, but now it's just more aggressive. And it's to the point now to where we're losing staff because of it, because we're not trained for this type of behavior. We're losing people.
How does your staff deal with it when it happens?
Well, a few weeks ago, I had 2 teachers just leave. They just walked out because they could not deal with it. They tried, you know, and there was nothing I could do because I can't help them. You know, this is just something new for us. You know, we're trained to deal with behaviors to a certain extent. But when it gets to the point to where your hands are tied, you can't do anything, you know, people are walking away from it.
I wonder, you've been doing this for quite a while, 25 years, am I right?
Yes, ma'am. It's been 25 years or more.
And so to not have seen this level of young child behavior, what do you think is going on?
I think, and you know, I could be wrong, but I think during COVID, we had all of these babies kind of locked up. And there was a lot of tension in the homes, a lot of things going on at home. And I think when they finally let them out, you know, we're getting the residue of what was at home. Now we're seeing it in the childcare facilities. And it's not only in early childhood, it's in elementary schools as well. So that's just my personal belief. You know, you have a pregnant mom that's home, that's isolated from everyone. She can't, you know, be face to face with her family, and that's anxiety on her, you know, maybe some depression setting in. I'm just saying this is what I believe. Mm-hmm. And then you have these little young kids at home, you know, with a lot of high anxiety going on. You know, maybe there's loss. People were losing people. People were dying. Grandparents were dying. And those children felt that at home. And then after everything was over, you sent them to us and we have the residue of what happened, is my belief.
Have you received help? I mean, what you're describing, you know, sounds like very distinct mental health challenges for parents and for the children as well. Have you received any help, or what more do you need so that you don't have staff leaving, but instead maybe have your staff trained to be able to help these children?
We need, not just my location, childcare in Alabama. I talk to childcare providers. We all are facing some of the same things. We need mental health coaches to help the teachers deal with what they're dealing with in the classrooms. Because if we don't get the tools to deal with the mental health challenges in the classrooms, not just from the children, but the parents, then we're going to lose more teachers if we don't get coaching ourselves, because we don't have degrees in mental health. We have degrees in early childhood. So we've got to be supported in order to support these children.
I want to bring in another voice. Rahul Briggs is an early childhood psychologist. She's also national director of the Healthy Steps program at 0 to 3. Rahul, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you both.
Rahul, do you hear stories like we're hearing now from Tijuana often as somebody who studies infant and toddler mental health?
Unfortunately, yes. We know that the years from birth to 3 are actually some of the most crucial years of a kid's life. Our brains are growing faster between these ages than at any other point. We're forming more than a million new neural connections every second. I think that's hard for a lot of us to think about, but what it means is that these infant and toddler brains are like sponges. And they soak up absolutely everything, for better and unfortunately for worse. It's extra important to get it right. So I think, as so often happens, our experts in the community, like Tijuana and her colleagues, are voicing things that science later confirms.
Let me ask you how a parent or a caregiver might be able to tell if a toddler is, you know, throwing an age-appropriate tantrum versus something more serious. I heard Tijuana earlier call it learned behavior.
Yeah, you know, we all receive so much information and advice on developmental expectations around physical development. So everyone knows whose toddler's walking and whose baby's sitting and all that. But on the other hand, social-emotional milestones can be really challenging for parents, caregivers, early childhood educators, childcare providers, and even pediatricians can struggle to really identify those social-emotional milestones without the right information and support. And social-emotional milestones are really the building blocks of mental health. So there are lots of questions. Like you said, is it normal to have this tantrum? Well, the good news is that pretty much every toddler has tantrums. But if we dig deeper and we think about frequency, duration, and intensity, so how often are these tantrums happening? How long in duration are they? And what's happening for a tantrum? Is it just lots of tears, or is it more than that?
And if you're seeing more than that, to use your words, and maybe it's bordering on what Tijuana described as even violent, or maybe a deeper aggression than just a temper tantrum. Do you have advice for caregivers or for parents on what to do?
We should be doing absolutely everything we can to ensure that children and their families are set up for success before they hit school, before age 3. And just like Tijuana was asking for, that means bringing team-based care, including mental health providers and consultants, to the settings where kids and their families are, like childcare and like pediatrics, for example, which is the one system that we have in this country that consistently reaches almost every single baby and toddler and their families. So Healthy Steps, our program, is a model of team-based care in pediatrics, integrating a new expert in child development and behavioral health prevention and promotion into that primary care team. Mm. And we need to do the same in all the systems where children and their families are showing up.
You know, you mentioned, Rahul, that caregivers like Tijuana are often on the front lines of seeing things that, you know, the science and possibly even the funding and the solutions catch up with years later. What would be a message to those, you know, maybe who are making public policy about what's needed now, not years later, but now?
We have focused as a country on intervention rather than prevention, but we're starting to see a shift. And there are wins on the state level from California, where the state Medicaid program is one of the first in the country to cover preventive services that treat kids and their parents together, like we do in Healthy Steps. Maryland Medicaid paying an enhanced payment for practices with Healthy Steps. And late breaking Arkansas, the state's Medicaid program is now paying for developmental screenings for young children for the very first time. And on the federal level, the Biden administration, a historic investment is helping 151 community health centers integrate early childhood development experts into the care team to focus on young children and their families. And we want to see more. We know how critical this period is. All babies and toddlers deserve this kind of support to thrive, regardless of where we first meet them and regardless of their family's income, race or ethnicity or location. And we really all thrive together as a result of investing in prevention.
Rahul Briggs is an early childhood psychologist. She's also national director of the Healthy Steps program at 0 to 3. And Tijuana Nelson Gill is director of Lighthouse Academy of Excellence and Achievement in Bay Minette, Alabama. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.